Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on this Wednesday, November 22nd, 2023. 14 coming up on 15 minutes past the hour. It is an interesting morning. Every time I mention that date, I think it is a historic date. A date, maybe as Franklin Roosevelt said, a date that will live in infamy, the 60th anniversary of the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. It's one of those days. There was September 11th, probably Pearl Harbor, that people will always remember in their life. And thank goodness, I was talking to somebody yesterday, thank goodness it's been 60 years since a president has died in office or been assassinated. So I think that's the longest stretch we've ever had in this country where we didn't have anything like that. So that is a good thing. Now, Matt, obviously you were not around when Kennedy was assassinated, but you study history and have studied the Kennedy assassination. What do you make of today being the 60th anniversary?
I'm happy that there's not been another president that's been, assassinated since.
I think since that one, it was a good idea to not have presidents in convertibles anymore. I think Secret Service was beefed up for the most part. And it was also, I believe, the first time a president, anything like that had happened in the television era, where there were video camera. And you got to look, before that, Roosevelt died, but he just died. He wasn't assassinated in office. Harding just died in office. He wasn't assassinated. So the last time president had been assassinated, I think, was McKinley, and that would have been right at the turn of the 1900s. And he was assassinated. I mean, nobody wants to be assassinated, but he was shot at a train station. Nothing like what happened with John Kennedy.
Why was he at a train station?
Well, presidents traveled by train before planes.
Yeah.
He didn't have like a private something or another to take him around?
Well, I'm sure it was a private train car. This would have been 1901, there you go.
It was the Andrew Jackson, I think, curse that every president elected in a year ending in zero died in office.
Until Reagan.
And the thing with Reagan was, had an attempted assassination, and so he was close.
Well, it's interesting when you think back on it now. McKinley in 1901, and then we had Harding in 23, so that was only 22 years later. And then we had Franklin Roosevelt in 43, so just 20 years later. Then we had Kennedy in 63, 20 years later. Now it's been 60 years, so that's nice. And prior to that, also William Henry Harrison, who just died in office from pneumonia. Yeah. And then we also had, of course, Abraham Lincoln, which was not a pretty sight, I'm sure, for the people who were in the theater, but not the television age. People didn't have cameras rolling in those days.
In 1880, was that with Chester Arthur in 1880?
I think he's the last one.
Yeah.
I think that's it for people who have died or were assassinated in office.
So I remember, I have some vague memories that, when Kennedy was assassinated, because I was only 5 at the time. But my memories were, my parents are coming home early from work, and all the good shows aren't on TV because they're putting news on, and so I didn't know what was going on, but I knew that I could not watch good TV. All the cartoons are being interrupted by news, and my parents were home early from work that day. And they go, "This is strange." And I didn't really know until years later, "Oh, that was my memories of Kennedy."
Well, and it's hard for people to understand that happened. A very similar thing happened on September 11th. A lot of businesses shut down. The news went wall to wall for, boy, 3 or 4 days. The Kennedy assassination was like that. Why do you think it was like that as we reflect back on it?
Because he was very popular. It was a campaign year. And like you said, it's the first time in television history that something like that had happened. In fact, when Oswald was killed a couple of days later.
Well, that's a whole other part of the thing.
Yeah, but that was the first murder to occur on television. You know, I mean, so it was all, you know, instant news out there. People were seeing everything happening for the first time in live time.
And during a holiday weekend.
Yep.
I mean, it was not a good time, not a good holiday season that year for the United States. And the youngest president, I mean, there was a great irony there that the youngest president ever elected was assassinated.
Right.
So it's a sad day for a lot of people. If anybody has any memories they'd like to share of the 60th anniversary of the assassination of JFK, give us a buzz here, 740-383-9944. Now, remember, we will be on through noon today, so that's how it will work. We won't be going off at 10. We'll be on through noon, 740-383-9944. And we will not be on tomorrow morning, but we will be back on Friday morning from 8 a.m. until 1 o'clock, no, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So that's how that will all work. And then we'll have our show on Friday. Matt Carrington and Sean and myself will be back here on Friday night, 8:15 to 10 p.m. And then Saturday comes the big Christmas tree lighting in downtown Marion. I'll be reading Twas the Night Before Christmas. We will have somebody from downtown Marion there, Matt and Carrington, as their elf names, Claxton and Fruity C. We'll be singing three Christmas songs. And as of today, Mayor Kellogg will be there as the official tree lighter. So it's going to be big doings on Saturday night.
It should be a happy holiday season.
You know, it's going to be something down there. Now, the people in downtown Marion told me 3,000 people were down there last year. It follows the parade. So they're expecting more than 3,000 people this year.
Well, I think that's great because it was approximately 3,000 people that voted the mayor, you know, in the last election. So these same 3,000 activists are getting down there and helping turn the city around. So that's a good thing.
And I believe businesses will be open. I believe Santa Claus will be down there on Saturday night, and an elf. He's the last. He's not a truck in the parade, but I believe he's the sleigh. He's a sleigh at the end of the parade. He's in a sleigh.
That's the way it should
so
be.
That's how it should be, yeah, on Saturday night. Now, interestingly enough, I haven't had a chance to talk about this because yesterday I had two guests on. I got a call from downtown Marion on Monday night, and now I will also be announcing the parade.
Whoa!
I know. So there you go. Double duty.
You're just moving up in the world here with all this.
I know. I don't know how I'll be in the gazebo on Saturday, starting at 6 o'clock when the parade starts, and I'll be announcing the parade. And then as soon as it's over, I'll run over to the tree for the tree lighting at 7 o'clock. So really, Christmas doesn't start in Marion until I get down there.
So I think next year we can, you know, kind of foresee into the future here that you'll be actually sitting in Santa's sleigh doing a remote, you know, Santa comes down the boulevard.
Probably. I think it's just piling up as time goes on.
Have your elves back there behind you, you know, humming and, you know, Christmas tunes while you shout out, you know, greetings to all the people there and helping Santa keep awake.
Okay, how is one of our elves feeling as we're getting very, very close now to the big celebration on Saturday night?
If I'm being honest, I kind of forget it's a thing until you bring it up every time, and then I'm like, oh yeah, that's, you know, that's coming up.
What did I say earlier with the mayor? What did I say when you corrected me?
You referenced something that I was talking to the mayor earlier, you know, like,
oh yeah, or what?
And he goes, I'm sitting right here.
Right. I was talking to him earlier about lighting the tree,
yeah,
which I think I was grammatically correct on that one.
Well, that is true, but
the mayor didn't like being referred to.
It kind of made it sound like you were talking to him a couple of weeks ago, you know, about this, or you know. Or.
No. It was just this morning we got talking about it. But yeah, I was talking to him currently as well, but not about lighting the tree. There you go.
It was good seeing him.
What did you pick up from Mayor Kellogg's interview?
I think the thing that impressed me is that he has a long history with Marion. He is very respectful and guardian of the Marion history. And, I from the descriptions, I think his museum at some point in time will make an excellent addition to the Marion you know, County Museum there. You know, it sounds like he's got, you know, well within the hand there, you know, to help preserve the legacy of Marion.
Well, a lot of Harding memorabilia in his museum that has not been seen.
Yeah.
Now, this year, the two members of the inductees, I guess I should say, of the Upper Crust Society, Marianne Michaels and Mayor Kellogg, I think these ended up being two good choices.
I think they're excellent choices. I think they both represent Marion and you know, the quality of the people in Marion. And, you know, I can see the Upper Crust Society becoming its own wing of the Marion Historical Society at some point.
Well, I think so. I think because the pizza crust all reside now within your refrigerator.
Yes, so they're in a frozen time lock at this point, which I think at some point the Marion Historical Society will be contacting me about taking over.
So now we have six members as of December 14th.
Six members, yes.
Now, speaking of December 14th, the Fruitcake Toss, it's coming along this year. We've already got 26 entrants. Well, maybe more than that as of the other day. Let me check here. We've got Ted Jolliffe, Adam, Dr. Davis, County Commissioner Kerr Murray, County Commissioner Andy Appenfeller, Sarah Chip, Mr. Neal, Carrington Matt, myself, Judy Summers, Glenn Coble, Lee, Glenn Jerome, Tyler Wilson, Bill Collins, Mayor-elect, Mary Ellen Withrow, Mayor Jack Kellogg, who was just here, third year he'll be in it, Fruitcake Lily, our youngest entrant at this point at 10 years old, she's competed the last 2 years, Pastor Craig here from the station, Golden Voice Ted Williams, Sheila Evans, Linda Sims, her husband Ed, who was the winner last year with 61 feet, and Kayla Bryce, who is Matt's brother. So I believe that takes us to 28 entrance into the Fruitcake Toss. If you'd like to enter somebody in the Fruitcake Toss, give us a buzz, 740-383-9944. Doesn't cost anything. 740-383-9944. Or if you have any questions about the Fruitcake Toss, feel free to give us a buzz. Now, Bob, you've nominated some people in the past, and you provide the plaque, so you'll certainly be there that night. And this is also the night that we will present Mayor Kellogg with his plaque. So, all that being said, you said you had some nominations, I think.
Well, I was trying to nominate my niece, who is a softball pitcher.
Oh.
And you can do the underarm toss there with, you know, great skill. I haven't heard back yet, so I've been checking my messages here.
So we'll leave her off the list for now.
Off the list for now. I mean, we had nominated her last year as well, but then she came down ill at the last minute there and could not make it. And so, but we're hoping, you know, this year that she might take the junior division.
You know what's interesting? I think maybe this is why we're not getting any calls. I don't know if the phone is working at this point.
Oh, well.
The phone is not working at this point.
She's out of town.
It says the line is in use. That's very odd. Well, we don't know why. I guess we'll have to figure that out. So if you're getting the busy signal, that's probably why. Because the phone is not working. Or
maybe I sat on it and unplugged it there.
You know, that's very strange. I don't know what that would be. But maybe it'll come back in use here. It was working earlier this morning, I do believe. All right. Well, we won't give the phone number because that is not working right now. But in any event, who do you think is likely to win the Fruitcake Toss with the entrance that we have?
Well, I'm maybe stick with history there with Linda's husband. He certainly has a good arm. You've got a couple new entrants there from who we don't know anything about, which they sound you know, healthy and strong. So could be, but there again, like you said, it doesn't take strength to win. It takes a little bit of skill because you got to get a good vertical. A good horizontal throw rather than vertical, and I think that's where somebody with, you know, softball underhand experience could come into play here.
Well, that certainly is true, and as I look at everything on the whole, we don't know anything about Glenn Jerome or Tyler Wilson.
Yeah.
And I think these are younger guys.
Yeah, and Eric was just asking, you know, during that last little break there that, you know, why isn't my daughter in it, but she's out of town, but she was a softball pitcher as well. And he said, well, doesn't she come home for the holidays? And, well, the Fruitcake Toss is not a holiday yet.
No, it's about 11 days before.
Yeah, and it's at some point in time, I'm sure it will be a holiday, you know, as the, you know, when it becomes an Olympic sport and Marion is leading the way in fruitcake tossing in the nation. You know, I can see it being a holiday at that point in time, but we're not quite there yet.
No, not quite there, but we will as time goes on. And again, if you don't know anything about the Fruitcake Toss, you walk up, we will have a line outside that you walk up, you can put your feet on the line, you can't run up to the line, and you get one underhanded toss with an actual Claxton fruitcake, and wherever it lands, distance is important, that's how we mark the winner.
And I guess the question with this coming in, can you do like a kind of a spitball pitch?
You know, I don't think so. I think people get very serious about this out there. Certainly 2 years ago, they were very serious about it. All kinds of inlaid competitiveness going on. We had Pastor Craig and Adam, and it was a whole thing a couple years ago. Now, Adam last year was the most improved fruitcake tosser.
Well, it's easy to come from minus 10 to plus 40.
Yeah, he went backwards the first year. That is true. He did go backwards.
You know, so anybody actually getting it in the right direction is going to get in the most improved category.
That is true.
And and we will have the plaque here for the most successful fruitcake tosser. I don't know if we'll have anything additional. Like last year, we did have the Old Gray Mayor's plaque. For the Mayor's Division, won by Jack Hallog. And we did the most improved. But, you know, I don't know if we have any of those auxiliary plaques at this point or not.
Well, we'll see what happens.
If we get enough junior competitors, we might have a junior plaque.
Well, I think, you know, a plaque for the winner is good. Because, you know, then you feel like you've won something. You feel like you've done something. And Ed got the plaque last year, so that was nice.
And it does have a little 3D printed fruitcake on it, so it becomes a historic thing to have in your house. Something you hang in pride there in the entryways. People come into your house and go, "Oh my God, you're the fruitcake toss.
The fruitcake toss champion." Now, and hopefully the newspaper will cover it again this year. Last year, I think there was some trouble with that because we were pretty well in the dark.
Yes.
Yeah. But that will not happen this year because we will be at the location that we're at here. So much better this year than last year. Now, when we look at things on the whole, the holidays came up quick this year.
They did. It was kind of like a snapping year and everything, which almost, you know, was my pizza for today. I was going to bring in, and then I threatened us at one point during the summer, was I was going to bring in an alligator pizza. And so, you know, I almost did that, you know, and it might still happen sometime this year, but we're not having an alligator pizza today.
No alligator pizza?
No alligator pizza.
Oh, that could have been a thing.
It could have been a thing. But you had mentioned something else several times on the air as far as potential pizza to celebrate today, and so I changed the last minute here, and we have what you've been mentioning all along on the air.
Oh, so, okay, I know what we're talking about then. How did this all start? Well, no, maybe I don't. It's, you know, I think maybe I do, but maybe I don't. Now, how did this all start for people who might be wondering?
Well, I don't know how it all started. It's kind of, we kind of rolled into it. I think 2 years ago, 2 years ago, we were talking pizza and everything there with the book Three Pies Hot, available at the Marion County Historical Bookstore. I mentioned that, you know, all the different things we could do with pizza. I mentioned we could stuff a turkey with a pizza, and I don't think you believed me.
No. I didn't think that would be happening, but it did.
It did happen, and so 2 years ago, we stuffed a turkey with a pizza, baked it, and baked it on air, had it, and everything, and everybody survived, and Glenn said it was the best pizza he ever had. So,
yes, he did. Glenn loved it.
And, it led it into doing a holiday turkey or holiday pizza. And so last year we ended up doing the pumpkin pizza for the first time. And
that went over very well. The pumpkin pie pizza.
Pumpkin pie pizza on the first day. And then the day after we did the fruitcake pizza. And that went over very well. And I ended up soaking that fruit in rum for about 6 months before we made the pizza. So it was a good pizza.
Yeah. And people like the fruitcake pizza. I believe we had Mike Wilson in here that day, and he really enjoyed that pizza.
Yep. And so we did a pumpkin pizza here just a month ago here for Halloween, and I didn't want to keep repeating ourselves here and everything. And so I came, and you had mentioned a different kind of pizza, so we have a different kind today.
It's a different kind.
Yes.
So it's not pumpkin pie, and it's not turkey.
Not turkey, not fruitcake. I don't know when you want to reveal that or not, since we're on till noon. We got to stretch things out a little bit.
That's right. We got to push it out a little bit here. We got other things to talk about.
We could take maybe the public could be guessing or something like that and put them in a drawing or something.
It's going to be very interesting as time, because we can't take a phone call now. See, that's the thing I'm looking at.
That's right.
Yeah, the phone. Hopefully, we're working on that momentarily to figure out why the phones are not working, and we'll be able to figure that one out. I don't know, because the phone plug-in is way over there. Nobody would have been able to touch that. I don't think it has anything to do with the phone because it says no dial tone. So I have no idea, and nothing's coming through there because when I hit the telephone interface, nothing's even coming through.
Miracle now, what is that? Technology.
Now, wait a second here. Now, this...
It's part of the phone cord, so...
Oh, was that...
I don't know.
Well, let's
see.
Did you just pull that out, or was that out?
No, it was out.
It was out. Well, maybe this could be a problem. Let's check this.
You mean you have to plug the phones in?
I know.
What kind of old place is this?
Who would imagine such a thing?
You'd think going to a new place, you'd have everything automatic or something.
I don't think that fixed anything.
Yeah, I do want to compliment you on the new studios and everything.
You like it?
Yes. It's a little compact, you know, and I think in time you will learn to put your pictures and the wall display closer together so you can get more on the wall. I mean, they're too far apart right now.
Well, you think?
Yeah, you have a lot more.
You want to space those out.
You want to get them closer together so you can put more on the wall.
You know, as I've been telling people, this is more representative of what radio studios that I have worked in look like.
Yes, I mean, because I had heard other people describe the last studio as resembling a murder house.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's true. There was some of that going on over there. We didn't like that feel.
Is this phone a party line?
You know, that's just very strange that the phone would not be working because, like I say, the plug-in is way back over there under the table, so Okay. Certainly nobody's been over there messing around with that. So I don't know because everything's plugged in on this end, and we're not even getting a dial tone at this point. So hopefully we will be able to find out what's going on with the phone this morning. Right. We might not be hearing from the line men today if we don't get that taken care of before noon.
I just called and they hung up on me.
Yeah, well, we might have to do that. We might have to just do it the old-fashioned way and put them on speakerphone and plug them into a microphone here and see what we can do if we get the Y men calling in.
In the old days, they could just kind of send a telegram or something, couldn't they?
Yeah, that's right. Pony Express. Now, Matt, does your phone have a good speaker on it?
Yeah, I think so.
Like, put the speaker on and let's see if it picks up in the microphone.
What do you want me to put on?
Well, not just anything right now. Dial tone. Give me a dial tone. Give me the time and temperature. Oh, that's not bad.
I can do mine.
Well, that's not bad. I think people are hearing that.
I'm sorry.
Oh, there we go. Well, I might be giving Marshall your phone number. Yeah, I think people heard that at home. There's no way to really know because the phone line's not working, but I think that went over okay. So we will work on that.
And this is the regular studio line, not the remote studio line.
Yeah, this is the regular studio line, which has been working fine since election night. That's when it was put in, so I really don't know what has caused the hubbub here.
Take out the battery, put the battery back in.
I don't think it's the phone.
Reset it.
I don't think it's the phone because we're not getting anything on the interface either. So
maybe we're not on the air. Are we on the air?
No, we're on the air.
All right.
We're on the air. We're
all
definitely
right.
On the air. Thank goodness. But, here we are, Thanksgiving Eve. What would it be without some hijinks like this?
I understand, because I was listening to the last week's Friday night show, and there was some doubt that the president actually pardoned turkeys.
Yes, apparently there was some confusion on that. They didn't... Was it you or Carrington who didn't...
Carrington.
Carrington didn't believe that there was a turkey pardoning going on.
And I guess I even have trouble understanding the word pardon, but...
Yeah. It's not legal.
It's not legal,
yeah.
I think that was timely because it was the next day on the news there that the president was out there pardoning the two turkeys for this year, Liberty and Bell.
Yes. You know, why is that a thing? What is the history behind that?
It goes back, I think, Coolidge. You know, actually, the Coolidge had a different story, but I'll get to. But I think it went back even further that might have been McKinley or somebody. They sent a couple of turkeys to the president, you know, to have for Thanksgiving, and the turkeys ran away.
Oh, really?
The turkeys knew what was going on, and they ran off. And so just out of fun, the president said, well, I pardon those turkeys, and off they went.
Well, that's exciting, and we've kept it up.
And so just like the Upper Crust Society, a little gag becomes the history, you know, and so every year the president pardons a turkey.
You know, though, but hasn't every, I mean, I look at things.
But not
that
every
we,
year. Yeah.
Well, but I think of things now that we think of as big deal traditions, like the parade downtown at Christmas, the popcorn festival. I mean, this is a fairly new thing in the last 40 years. The popcorn drop on New Year's Eve, the peanut push, Buckeye Chuck, all these little things that were just little gags at the time. Now we call them traditions.
That's right.
They all start that way.
But I heard, you know, what about Coolidge? I mean, Coolidge has a story of his own. He was actually gifted, you know, for Thanksgiving dinner, a raccoon.
Oh, really?
Really. And he either did not relish the idea of having a raccoon for dinner, or maybe was just so entranced with the personality of the raccoon that he pardoned the raccoon, and the raccoon became a resident there at the White House under the name of Rebecca Raccoon, actually. And so 1926, there was no raccoon on the table there, but he probably actually ate the turkey instead. But
you know, it's very interesting. I was asking people yesterday, did you know there was no turkey at the first Thanksgiving? What did they eat?
That's right. The main dish was venison. Deer meat.
That's interesting.
It is. And, you know, they had seafood as well, you know, because they were right there on the bay. But what else did they have? They had cornbread pudding. And the real reason the pilgrims stopped where they stopped, and because I think they had intended to go a little bit farther south, but they parked the Mayflower there at Plymouth Rock there because they had run out of beer,
which was
their main source of liquid refreshment, you know, crossing the ocean, and so that's why they ended up stopping where they did in Massachusetts, but after a year or two of getting their production back in place there, you know, they served beer at the first Thanksgiving as well, much to the Indians' delight.
But it was a small group.
Yes.
No women.
Well, five women.
We
don't know if they were Indian women or pilgrim women or not, but there were five women there, 50 pilgrims, 80 Indians, and they celebrated the fall harvest with the intent there.
Well, it's a nice thing when people get together like that on the holiday. What's your favorite part about Thanksgiving?
I think, like you said, just getting together, you know, reminiscing old times, creating new times, and so forth. You know, I think that's the main thing. I think you had was Graham Kerr the other day was talking about just how we've become obsessed with celebrating, you know, our obesity throughout the year with having a big meal to, you know, really fatten ourselves up even more. You know, and so I'm not so much into the overeating aspect of it, you know, but it's getting together and being with people.
I thought he gave some good recipes.
He did.
I thought he did a very good job.
It was a great interview, and I was going to write some of them down, but I said, I don't have to write them down. I could go back and listen.
Go to the archive, right there, and it's all right there. Graham Kerr's, you know, and he's particular about that. He's not rude, but you know, it's Graham Kerr, even though it's K-E-R-R.
Yeah. I mean, I always said Kerr because that's the American thing to do when you see it in print. There, but
well, you know, he's the last really. Pioneering television chef, because it was Julia Child. Who else was there in the beginning?
Galloping Gourmet.
Well, that's Graham Kerr.
Yeah. And I remember watching him on TV back there in the 60s.
He went up the river.
It was always so much fun. You know, I mean, the guy was nuts. He came on right after Soupy Sales, you know, which was a nutty program to begin with. And so you get this guy out there running over and jumping over chairs and cooking and drinking wine on TV and having a good time. And you go, this guy's nuts.
And now to listen to him at this age, he still sounds great, but a whole different lifestyle for him.
Yeah.
And I think in the first interview I did with him, he talked about how that was all really an act.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'd hate to be that person every day, 24 hours a day, when you see him on TV.
He's an exuberant guy. I don't think that was a fake, yeah. But the whole idea of the drinking and the jumping over things, I think that was all done for television.
Yeah, and it was quite effective. I mean, it's what made cooking interesting. I mean, who else would think a cooking show on TV? You got somebody up there cooking. What, you know, what kind of TV is that? You know, how low are we sunken?
Well, it set it apart from everything else. That's for sure.
It did.
Now, Matt, you talked about several different ideas this Thanksgiving. Has your family decided on what you're going to do? It's tomorrow.
So, I hadn't asked my uncle and my grandpa yet, but I have my brother and my cousin to go rabbit hunting with tomorrow.
Oh, good. So there is going to be a rabbit hunt.
There will be a rabbit hunt tomorrow.
Now, where does this take place?
it really just depends on where we decide to go. We usually do it out back of my grandma and grandpa's house because they have a set of woods, but there's just not that much like animals there to hunt really. So we'll probably end up going out by like Whirlpool. There's good rabbit spots out by Whirlpool. A lot of fields, tall grass.
And the dinner is at what time?
I do believe it'll be at like 4 or 5.
That's good. And now what's your favorite part of the meal?
My grandma makes homemade mashed potatoes and homemade noodles out of the, well, I guess not the mashed potatoes, but she makes homemade noodles and then uses like the ham broth from cooking the ham to cook the noodles. And then I like to put those over mashed potatoes with corn.
Well, there you go.
And then do you actually eat the rabbit?
Yeah.
All right, good. All right.
Tomorrow, you eat the rabbit tomorrow?
Well, not tomorrow.
You have to let it lay for a few days, don't you?
I mean, no.
No? Okay.
Well, I mean, they you don't have to thaw them out and just stuff them into the turkey there.
I didn't know that was traditional Thanksgiving fare, rabbit.
Well, it depends on what part of the country you're from and what you have to put on the table. Some people might consider it very traditional.
Now, how much meat do you get off a rabbit?
I'll defer to Matt.
You know, it really just depends on the size of the rabbit, but not all too much. I mean, one rabbit could probably feed 2 or 3 people.
Now, rabbits don't move very fast. Is it really that hard to shoot them?
Rabbits do move fast. And
really?
And yeah, they like when they're scared and they're trying to get away, they can move. They just kind of meanderly like hop along most of the time until they get scared, and then all of a sudden they're meow, gone. Never going to see them again.
So what is the sport in this?
So you get in a big line, okay? You make sure everybody's like not necessarily shoulder to shoulder, but nobody wants to be in front or behind of everybody because you have guns.
Probably not.
You don't want to be behind somebody with a shotgun.
Yeah.
You don't want to be in front either.
So then you just start walking down the field, and you kick every like bush you see, and you step on all the brush, and you kick all the bushes, and you hope that at some point you kick a bush and you see a rabbit take off, and then you know. Shoot the rabbit.
So it's kind of like a police line moving through the field there as you're looking for...
Yeah, basically. Yeah. You see the rabbit kick up and you say, there he goes, and then all of a sudden you hear a whole line of people just light up a rabbit.
Now how did this become a thing for you?
I'm not sure how it became a thing for everybody else who used to partake when I was... You know, little, but for me, it was just the thing that they had done when I was little, so.
Now, all right, so you've got your 12, 20 people moving through the field there, and the rabbit takes chase, and y'all start blasting at the same time. Who gets credit for the kill?
See,
the first one to get there, the first one to hold him up by the ears, or who gets credit?
I mean, so...
How long does this go on?
Usually, you can tell...
The fight or the killing of the rabbit?
Both.
Usually, you can tell when the rabbit, or like, who... I guess you necessarily can't unless you're the one who shot the rabbit. Because, like, it'll line up when you hear, like, the bang of the shotgun versus the rabbit flop. Okay. But we'll usually rabbit hunt for, like, 2 hours, 2.5. Maybe 3, depending
now
on...
How many rabbits will come back with that, in that time frame?
It really just depends on where you go, but, I mean, usually you probably get, like... On a good day, you could probably get, like, 3 to maybe 6. On a bad day, you could just be walking the field with a shotgun.
Now, is it rabbit season now? Is this when they're out?
Duck season.
I do believe so. I think it's... Yeah, I do believe it's... Rabbit, squirrel, and deer season.
And you need some kind of license to do this.
Yeah, you need a hunting license.
Okay. Well, what do hunting licenses cost now?
I do believe they're. 17. I think it's like 17 for an apprentice license, but I think if you have your hunting, like if you took the hunter safety course, I think it's like $25 for a year. But I bought the 3-year hunting license, so I'm not sure.
You know, for years and years and years, they talk about how the holidays don't seem like they once were, and I think a lot of people That was just a generational thing, because as you get older, of course they feel less like they did when you were a child or maybe in your teenage years. But do you think technology has changed the holidays in any way?
Oh, good Lord.
That it's completely different now?
I believe it has. I think technology has changed a lot of almost everything, sometimes for the better, sometimes for the worse. You were talking earlier about how, you know, why don't people in the same, you know, office building talk to each other? You know, talking to Jack Collick about that and everything. And
don't say earlier.
Since he's not here.
He'll come back and point it out.
He might. But I think what technology has done is taken away a lot of impersonal contact. You know, it's easier to text somebody or talk to somebody rather than to walk, you know, 20 feet down the hallway and talk to them and say, hey, let's work this out or something. And I think technology has taken away a lot of the face-to-face communications, and some people are just not skilled at that anymore.
But do you think people make it a point to get together on Thanksgiving anymore? If you're not really part of somebody's family or you're not in their inner circle, do you think people make it a point to show up?
I don't think so anymore. I think that's kind of a distant thing. Let's FaceTime them or, you know, Facebook them or something like that, you know, and we'll talk to somebody 20 miles away, you know, via, you know, FaceTime rather than actually, you know, showing up and celebrating the holiday with them.
You know, what about the problems that people run into on Thanksgiving? You know, oh, I always go to my family, and then you have another family to go to because maybe you're married, maybe you're in some kind of relationship. It can be a hectic day.
But, you know...
Yeah, but you always make it look nice for the pictures on social media.
Yeah, but, you know, that's been going on, you know, since every time people get together, you know. I mean, do you have one big celebration with, you know, the in-laws, everything, or do you have two, or do you alternate, you know, one year here, one year there? So I don't think that's really a new situation. I think it's always been going on.
But I think people don't pay as close attention to it as they used to. I think it used to be, okay, no, we need to make sure that we're going to go to both places, and this one's going to be at noon, and this one's going to be at 5, and we're going to be at... But I don't know that that part happens anymore. I think it's when we get there, we'll get there. You guys start the meal. We'll be there at some point. We'll have already eaten. You know, it's a weird thing.
Well, and I think one way to overcome that, you know, just make it less stressful for everybody, is to assign all the guests a dish. All right, you're bringing rolls, you're bringing a pie, you're bringing a sweet potato casserole or something like that. Everybody bring a dish. So, you know, it's less work on the host, but everybody contributes, and you all have something to commune over. You know, like, oh, this is good mashed potatoes. Oh, great rabbit. Thanks for bringing that rabbit.
Yeah, thanks for bringing the rabbit.
Wonderful tradition to have people gathering together to provide for the family, which is what Thanksgiving started as. And yes, technology has changed quite a bit. We've gone from blunderbusses to semi-automatic 1187s. And God bless you for staying out of the styrofoam syndrome, where people don't want to see where their food comes from.
Well, and I think it's changed the feeling of the entire day. Because tomorrow there will be places that are open. There will be places you can go get a meal. There will be, I think there some shopping. Now, I think they have backed off of that a little bit. Some of the stores have, but I think some shopping will go on tomorrow.
I'm still working my head around the word styrofoam syndrome. I don't think I've heard that expression before.
I just came up with it.
I didn't know if you saw it on Wheel of Fortune or something like that, you know?
A lot of people, you know, I mean, this young gentleman just described shooting the rabbit, okay? But there,
well, that's a good lot of
things. That's where it just
things.
Begins. That's only the beginning. Then you've got to clean it, and then you've got to cook it, and there's a lot of preparation into it. And to actually, how many people out there can provide for themselves without a grocery store?
Yeah.
You know, he's not going to aisle 5 to come up with Thanksgiving dinner. He's doing it exactly the way the pilgrims did, which was go out there in the woods and find something edible.
Well, I have to say, I'm excited about this year's Thanksgiving because I don't have to go. Although, you know, I'm trying. Was it Christmas or Thanksgiving where I had to go somewhere else? But in the past, I know I've had to go to other Thanksgivings, which I was never very excited about because I do have Thanksgiving at my house for my family and some other people. And it's nice this year not to have to worry about being anywhere else that day. There's something nice about that.
Yeah. I was just wondering, you know, I mean, deer meat is venison. Is rabbit meat bunnison? What's the word for
rabbit?
Well,
what do you call bunny meat, Adam? At Adam. Matt? I have no idea, because I've never seen you and Adam in the same room, so I have no idea why I call you Adam.
I think you might take that as a not as a compliment.
I don't know. It's hard to tell. Too bad we can't hear from Adam.
Well, maybe that's why we should talk about him.
A good time to talk about him, because we can't be heard. He can't be heard.
I'm not sure that there is a technical term. I'm sure there is, but I'm not sure that I know the technical term for rabbit meat.
There's something. There's something for rabbit meat, I'm sure.
Yeah, there must be.
You know,
or we could create a word. We could create the word of the day going forward. That could be a little segment now on the WGH.
Well,
the word of the day.
Might as well. Might as well. On this Thanksgiving Eve. Now, when we look at this whole holiday, the parade's tomorrow. I know a lot of people like this dog show, which I didn't even really know about until last week. Any big traditions on Thanksgiving?
We've
got the rabbit thing.
I mean, we don't go shooting the rabbits in our neighborhood there, but actually, we could shoot the drag racers going down the street.
That's nice.
That's nice. But when that happens, we made the news a couple months ago, drag racing down the street there. But for us, generally, we'll start the day with we like to watch the parade, and we switch back and forth between ABC and NBC and whoever has the best parade route and everything. Then the dog show. The dog show is always interesting because you see so many different breeds, and so many.
What is it with the dog show? I've never watched the dog show in my life.
Yeah, I didn't even know there was a dog show until Mary Ellen and Carrington brought it up.
Yeah, they brought it up the other night.
John O'Hurley was the greatest announcer that you could ever have for any kind of competition of that nature.
And he's still around, right?
Yeah,
does he still do it?
Yeah,
Seinfeld.
He still does it. He's just phenomenal as far as an announcer.
The dog show.
He is. He's got quite a. He's right up there with Leslie Nielsen. He's got a great voice for announcing.
Now, so what is the point of the dog show?
If nothing else, it gets you to see a lot of different breeds, and you see how these fanatical dog owners will, I guess, create the coiffures for the dog, or what do you call the dog hairstyles and everything. Some of them are you go. Who the hell did this? Yeah. Well, where did they come up with this idea for a dog hairstyle? And so it's good to see that segment of society, I guess, a little bit there. It's fun in that fashion. You can't take it seriously as anything else other than just being a fun event.
I wouldn't think that would be a serious event.
No,
not at all.
Although I'm sure the people competing in it take it very seriously.
Yeah, well, they do, but nobody else does.
Nobody else does.
Why would anybody?
Yeah.
Why would anybody? So it's going to be a great Thanksgiving, and then we go right into the holiday season after that. Tomorrow's a very quick day. Once people eat the meal, then you will see the Christmas commercials tomorrow night, and boy, that rolls right into Friday, the big shopping day, Black Friday.
I don't know where you've been, but the Christmas commercials are already on.
They are, but they're not in full force yet. Yeah. I haven't walked into any stores and heard the Christmas music really full force as it will be on Friday.
Yeah.
So all that being said, Friday we will have our tree here in the studio. Now, is it going to be fruitcake pizza again this year, or is there a derivation?
I mean, for Friday?
Yeah, for Friday.
It's going to be something different.
Oh, different?
But something that you've been pining for. So.
Oh, I have.
Yes.
That has to do with Christmas.
It has to do with the Christmas and pizza and so forth and But other than that, I don't think I should say more.
No. Well, it's interesting because I have not opened the box yet, so I'm interested to see what the star looks like.
The pizza star?
The pizza star.
The replacement pizza?
Yeah, because last year it was a little...
Mouse-eaten?
A little mouse-eaten.
Rat-eaten? Who knows? In the murder house there, who knows what was going on when you slid it under the storage
cabinet. But see, because of that last year, I made sure to set it on top of the tree.
So the mouse had to
If the mouse got in that. And I still don't know how it got... Was there a hole in the box?
Well, I mean, it's a standard pizza box, and so that's why we stored it in, because that's what it was made from. And so a mouse could get into that and...
And shut the box when it's done?
It could be, but we saw that the mouse had left its numerous calling cards.
Yeah, in the box.
To be polite here for radio.
So I wonder if it was open.
It could have been.
And maybe that was... I know it was not open last year, because I every time I walked in that room, I could see the box, because it was laying on top of the tree, as opposed to wherever it was the year before.
Yeah. So, I mean, but... anybody who's had mice in the house know that they can be a formidable adversary because they slip through the tiniest little crevices, you know, and you know, so it was not in a mouse-proof box for sure.
No, it wasn't. But hopefully this year when we do the big reveal on Friday and top the tree, it'll be okay.
And this year's star is more heavily shellacked than the last one. You know, and,
oh, there's a new star.
Well, yeah.
Well, I didn't know there was a new star.
We couldn't put the old mouse eating star on top of the.
It was there last year. It was up there last year.
Well, that was the old Murder House studio. Now that you're in this, you know, fine place here, we gotta have.
We got New York
star.
In the background.
That's right.
Yeah, we can't have that whole half-eaten star.
So we have a new star here.
Oh, it's here already.
It's here already.
Oh, my goodness.
Should I reveal it now? You want to save it for Friday?
I think we should save it for Friday. That's the one thing we have on Friday that's the big reveal.
All right.
So we'll save that for Friday, the new WGH star,
yes,
which will be here on Friday. All right, we're going to go to break, and we are going to come back here in about 15 minutes. And maybe we'll have the Wyman, maybe we won't. We'll see how that all turns out. Be back in 15 minutes.
You're listening to The Talking Place. The legendary star of The Facts of Life, Charlotte Ray, Mrs. Garrett.
Is it how much of Mrs. Garrett is in Charlotte Ray?
I'm not, you know, they made Mrs. Garrett perfect, which was ridiculous, as I wrote in the book. I mean, they never let me yell at the kids or anything. Which most parents, you know, all the kids wanted a mother like Mrs. Garrett. Well, she wasn't real, because most mothers lose their temper sometime and they get mad, and so on and so forth. Anyway.
To the voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid, legendary actress Pat Carroll,